Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
4 years isn't enough. So what I wanted to do, of course, was throw the phone against the brick right here in the atrium and chatter. But instead,
you threw it at me.
I gave it to Michael and said, can you fix this? What did you do?
I did an old iPhone trick, which is holding down the power button.
Which one? Which button is that?
On your phone, it's the side button that
on the right, upper right.
I also don't get it. I don't hear the phone very well. I don't
ooh,
have
I just
volume.
Checked your volume and it was all the way down.
Because I don't know which way to press it. I don't understand
up,
it.
Up or louder. Down?
Stop the hammering.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on.
Stop
now.
The hammering.
That's a good accent.
I do that well, don't I?
Yeah, very well.
Yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Very well.
So we're live at Chatter.
I mean, I knew you could nail the tone.
Yeah,
it was the accent.
We're at the
that.
Corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, inside the district line. We're in the capital of the United States of America. Gene McManus is here. Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is running the board. We are guest loaded, and it's all gambling today because we're not doing the show from here tomorrow. I'm not doing the show here tomorrow. I've got to go to New York City for the day. I have an event tomorrow night in New York. My college is having the gala something or other for the School of Management. I was not in college when they had a School of Management. This is a fundraiser. If you go,
this is the Tony Pays More Money event.
Yeah, you're expected to give money. It's as simple as that. It's a fundraising situation, and I am the MC for that. I'll be back Friday, though we won't do a morning show. We will do a pop-up podcast with Connie Chung and Maury Povich if they indeed show up. And if not, I'll just sit here and talk about my experience in high school. I mean, I don't know what I'll
sure,
I have
why not?
No idea.
So we got
what
that
I'll
to
do.
Root for.
Yeah.
Well, we should say that the podcast Thursday is at 11, not during breakfast.
Yes. Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Nigel is doing
come
it.
Come
for lunch.
At the movies, we'll be here from 9 to about 10:30.
Come for breakfast.
So you have
and
a full
lunch.
Day.
Yeah.
You have a full day. I'm not here.
Rare work day for Nigel
yeah.
on Thursday.
Yeah,
right. I thought we can.
We got two stories to begin with. We'll start with the World Series, and then we'll talk about Halloween, which to me is more interesting. The World Series is now going 7. Rich Hill was taken out. I was awake for this. Rich Hill was taken out after 4 2/3 innings because Dave Roberts did not like the impending matchup of Rich Hill against Alex Bregman, who had hit him hard earlier in the game. And he went to Morrow, who gave up like 93 runs in 4 pitches the last time he was out. But relief pitchers with a day off, you know, there's
different
a certain
animal.
Elasticity yeah. to what they do. And physically and mentally, they bounce back pretty well. In fact, the entire Dodger bullpen bounced back very well. Jansen got a 6-out save, which had been his undoing the last 2 times he went out there. Justin Verlander pitched well. He had 9 strikeouts in 6 innings. Mm-hmm. He gave up 2 earned. That is often good enough to win. It was not good enough to win.
Hit hard consecutively.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Going back. Corey Sager to come back to the wall.
To finish your thought, Morrow comes on.
Gets ground ball out.
Gets ground ball out. And
he's done.
From where I was thinking game over. I mean, I was hoping.
Really?
I was hoping, because I had predicted as much here, that you were looking at one of those 130-pitch Verlander complete games.
Yeah.
But I thought a game like this with that emotion here in the crowd.
You
after
thought
that,
even though they were down in the game, the Dodgers were going to win that game.
Yes. Because I thought that I thought the opportunity to end that game was there for Houston. And just the way this series had gone, it's like if you give anyone any just gasp of air. So I thought that was sort of their last
most
good chance to
teams
score.
Are better at home than they are on the road. The Astros are particularly bad in the playoffs on the road, and it is particularly bad for Jose Altuve, who is a miracle.
Yeah.
He's 5-5. Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa do nothing on the road in the playoffs, and they got one more on the road. Last year, the same thing happened, and it wasn't a question of road or home, because last year the Cubs were on the road in Cleveland. But teams that win 6 most often win 7. Most often they win 7. Like, you can look this up. It's 60-65%. If you win 6, you win 7. You're not thwarted most of the time in 7. A high number,
stat.
You are 40%, but not most of the
time.
Well,
that's an interesting stat because certain amount of teams that lose 6, are you saying in 7-game series?
In 7-game series.
Okay. Because I think I saw the stat yesterday.
If
where
it goes 7.
Where in 2-2 series, the winner of game 5 is then only 14-14 in game 6. So then I guess you would mean of those, well, there's other ways to get to.
I can't do the complicated math, and God knows you can't either.
Well.
But if it's a 3-2 series, the team that wins 6 by a slight percentage, by like 60%. It's not as much as two-thirds.
Okay.
But they win 6 and 7.
All right.
This is what we saw last year with the Cubs and the Indians. Yep. So the
and
Dodgers.
I believe what you
the
predicted,
Dodgers would be.
Isn't that what you predicted here yesterday?
Yes.
I believed. Yes. I've always thought the Dodgers would win. As much as I love Verlander, I didn't think he'd win the game. Though I thought he'd be out earlier. I thought it'd be one of those 10-8 games.
Well, he was unhittable until
Nine
he was.
Strikeouts. Right.
Yeah. But it's what they say about facing the lineup for the third time. That's exactly the timing.
Maybe. That may very well be true. The question tonight is, what does Darvish have? Darvish only pitched a couple of innings.
Right.
And you have this story by Tom Verducci that the slider, which is Darvish's main pitch, is
infected by the ball.
Yes, it's hindered by the exact ball that they're using. If Darvish is good, Darvish is great. He's a great pitcher. So you have Darvish and McCullers the last time. And McCullers has been very good in the postseason. And it's an all-hands-on-deck situation. Kershaw will be ready.
Kershaw was stretching last night.
Would not surprise me at all if the Astros are up in the ninth. Look, if Verlander comes in and tries to save.
Kershaw said he can go 27 innings tonight.
Well, you have to try.
At the end of the game last night, McCullers was out in the outfield warming up.
Well, that's what you do. You get ready because you have a certain routine.
But he was ready to go then.
So let me say this about the ball.
Yes.
The Jock Peterson home run, which came in the, what was that, bottom of the seventh?
A one-handed opposite field home run.
Was the second time this year we have seen not only a one-handed opposite field home run, but a ball that appeared to be a pop fly off the bat.
Yes.
Just go and go
and it
go.
Wasn't that warm. And so
I wonder if there might be like a remote-controlled drone inside of the ball.
There is this notion that because the first two games at Dodger Stadium were so warm that the ball traveled better. And that is true. You find that, you find that in golf as well. But it was 60 degrees last night. It was not hot last night. And the ball was going out. They had two more home runs
not
last night.
Not hot, like everyone says.
So, anyway, I mean, this is something that obviously everybody is going to watch.
It is
a great series. It's a great series. It may come down to home and away. I mean, it may be that the Dodgers are just better. Not that the Dodgers are better at home as much as Houston is just not good away. But Houston won. Houston won game two, if I'm not mistaken. They won game. Who do you like?
Yes, they did. Just because I've said it all along, I will stick with Houston and hope that somehow they can pull it out. I find them easier to root for, but of course that probably has something to do with my Nationals fandom. But I can't give you any good analytical or statistical reason other than to say I'm pulling for Houston.
No. Gene?
I go back and forth with every game, but find myself wanting the home team to win when I'm watching the game. So I think the Dodgers will win.
Michael?
I'm now thinking the Dodgers are going to win just because of bullpen issues for the Astros. The series is throwing out every sort of sense that you have towards baseball. So I expect a lot of runs tonight. I expect they go to bullpen early.
The bullpen ERAs for each of these teams are offensively high.
They're high.
They're high.
Alabama. I don't think you can bet against Alabama.
Yeah. I have my lawyer, Jared Levine, is a big Dodger fan.
Right.
Such a big Dodger fan that I called him yesterday to say, good luck tonight. Are you going to the game? And he said, yes, I'm going to the game. And he said, I just got back from Houston, where he went to all three of those games.
Wow.
He's that guy.
Wow.
He follows
the
team.
How much time did he bill you for?
He hasn't billed me personally. So I mean,
Larry King is getting shorter as the series
Well, he lays
goes
down
on.
In his seat. He's,
he
got,
in the
he's
seat.
Got the first class seat that is totally reclining. He's got
is that,
that
going to be us in 10 years just kind of shrinking down below?
6 weeks. That's us in 6 weeks. Can't see over the steering wheel at some point. So he's next to Mary Hart and Mary Hart's husband. That has been explained to me a number of times. I don't recognize anybody else in the front rows, but I don't know that I necessarily should. So, I mean, I think Darvish, if Darvish is good, Darvish is better than anybody else.
Yes,
so we'll see.
But he wasn't
and
great
rested.
Last time we saw
no,
him.
No, he was
You're
going
to have to tell me what happened, though, because I'm going to be watching the Bills-Jets on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I didn't even realize this was Thursday and there was a game. No, it's not Thursday.
Oh, it's Wednesday.
This is
right.
Wednesday. What are you talking about?
Well, then maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah. What are you talking about? All right, let me get to
it's been
Halloween.
A long week.
I have some comments on Halloween, which has become, unless somebody wants to correct me, like a national family holiday in the United States of America. When I was young, when Gene was young, well, I grew up on Long Island and Gene grew up in Washington, so it may be different. Our Halloweens did not involve parents taking children around
Correct.
At all. At all. parents didn't walk up and down your street holding a case of beer in their hands,
watching
their kids.
It might be behind St. Patty's Day, the second biggest adult drinking day.
People are drunk as rats.
Cinco de Mayo's in there, too.
Yeah, good point.
So we didn't have that. In fact, our Halloweens were more based on mischief.
Yes.
Where I grew up, they
Same
were more
here.
Based on mischief.
You had running to, wild in the streets was my goal.
You had to stay in your home. If you were a homeowner, you had to stay in your home with a shotgun.
Correct. Right.
Because
to protect it.
Your property was going to be destroyed. Your pumpkins were going to be destroyed.
Correct.
You would have spray paint. This is, I'm going back 60 years.
If you didn't put out at the front door.
You had to have stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, God forbid. And when people said, and you said in those days, oh, pennies for UNICEF.
No.
People said, no pennies for you. Pennies for UNICEF will kill your dog.
Take it on down the line.
Candy. Now, not only is it a thing for adults and children, and they have a sort of annoying familiarity. Oh, hi, Tony. And they're drunk.
And sometimes they come up like right onto the porch.
Yes.
They don't even wait at the end of the walk.
No. They don't do anything like that. And I got to hold back the dog. You know, I got to hold back the dog all the time.
Don't have to.
Well, unleash the hound.
Hold back the dog.
Release the Kraken.
On our street, we don't get a lot of Halloween traffic. We get 40 or 50 kids is all we got. But on our street, there were cars parked all up and down the street. Our street was used as a staging area for families to walk up and down the larger streets.
Well, they like flat streets, too, that don't have a lot of steps, so you're in that category.
So it's just amazing to me what a family holiday this thing is now.
Annoying.
And it is terribly annoying.
In later years, people
around the corner from us had a fire pit set up, and they were serving meat.
Yeah, grilling on hot dogs and stuff.
What?
That's the move.
Yes. And then a couple of blocks down is that lady with the entire household. It makes Nancy Bubis's household look not tame, but it's a bigger deal. How was Bootsy's first Halloween?
So the sentimental part of the evening was we dressed him up. We went to the local elementary school for the pumpkin parade.
Did you do the Harvey Weinstein costume that
no,
I suggested
my
for him?
No, my wife did not go for that one. We dressed him up as Max from Where the Wild Things Are.
Looks great.
He's adorable.
And my first Halloween as a homeowner. I went out. I got the pumpkins. I convinced Liz we needed 500 pieces of candy. We didn't have more than 15 kids come to our house.
You have a small street.
Two blocks away, they have a band. They have an open bar on the sidewalk. And I'm out there patrolling, basically asking kids to come onto my front stoop.
That might be a little aggressive.
Yeah. Who wants candy, kids?
Yeah, so now you have enough candy for next year. Candy never goes bad.
I'm sick to my stomach during the middle innings of last night's game. I'm just crushing candy, mixing the Starburst with the chocolate.
This is it. So Carol went out and bought a giant bag of the two candies I hate most in the world, which is deliberate on her part.
Yeah.
Starburst and Skittles.
Yeah.
I loathe these candies.
You're
absolutely loathe these candies. So I was happy to give them out.
Dentists love
we
those
got
candies.
About 40 or 50 people. Where you are, Michael, you're sort of at the end of the neighborhood. No one's going to go to your street. You should feel good about this.
So I will feel better about this after the sort of the want of being part of this Halloween spirit wears off, and I'll enjoy being two blocks off of the main line.
Yes.
But this is, you walk around our neighborhood, small row homes, beautiful, connected feeling. Strollers out, again, flasks out, solo cups out, and I was just...
People drinking.
I just sat there saying, come on, bring it over to my house.
You need more lights, like put orange pumpkin lights.
I had little votive candles out.
Oh, that's good.
Well, then people thought it was like some sort of cathedral. They weren't going to go to it. You know what we did at 9 o'clock? Bang, hit the outdoor light.
Yeah.
Turned it off.
Right.
We're not here.
Curfew.
We're done for you. Go to some other street. It's time to eat.
9 p.m. is a fair cutoff
for
Halloween.
That's fair. Yes,
in later years, when we told our parents how far and wide we roamed that night, they were horrified.
That's what it was.
We went to Wheeling.
I'm not going to say that it was a different America. I'm not going to do anything like that. But I'm going to say that Halloween, when I was a kid, was far different. It was kids wilding. It was and parents protecting their property.
Not only that, I told my kids about this last night when I was a kid, which is a little bit after you were a kid.
Yeah.
I got home, emptied the pillowcase. 10 to 15% of the stuff I was given was not wrapped or like homemade. I mean, I would get like one of those popcorn balls, which was my favorite thing. And all I remember is my dad being terrified about
razor blades.
Exactly. The razor blades.
Which I don't know if it ever happened.
It's a great urban legend.
I think it did.
My kids were appalled. They're like, what? Why would anyone do that? You know, so the good thing about that.
They get better candy, but the candy's terrible. They give you bad candy now.
And little pieces of candy.
Tiny little
pieces. Yeah, you get the little miniatures.
There was one family who always used to say...
By the way, if you run out of candy, honestly, you got to start throwing singles at kids in the old days.
Let me say this.
Otherwise, your house would be destroyed.
Let me say this about the horror stories. And, Michael, this is worth remembering. Is the good thing about telling my kids that story is any piece of candy with even a remotely compromised wrapper goes in the dad bowl.
Right, you eat it.
So when I'm done, you know, I got 50 pieces of candy. I didn't do anything.
All right, so are we good? We're good on this?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, we'll take a break. David Pollack is going to join us when we return.
That's
Am I correct?
He's
good. To talk about the first poll, first college football rankings poll, which came out last night, which I watched. It was from 7 to 8. I watched the entire show.
Oh, I forgot that's back on.
Yeah, it just started.
Okay, very important, because that doesn't change much.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. There's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone, if you know how to use your phone, and I don't. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, if you listen to this high-quality pod, you can get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. You download the SeatGeek app, S-E-A-T-G-E-E-K, the SeatGeek app. You enter the promo code Tony today. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Justin W. That's all he says. We don't know what his last name is.
No, he's
just Justin W.
Yes, he's part of the band Paul E. Justin. Paul and Justin, I guess.
E with a Y?
Yes.
Okay. I've been catching up on the podcast on my work-related road trips throughout California. I honestly don't get a single one of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia-specific inside jokes or references. See Jason Lockenfor's Baltimore voice. But I still enjoy the show and the rotating cast of guests. Thanks for using a few of our songs on the show and for Tony making fun of our name. That was great. I've attached a few more Paul E. Justin songs from our first album, Adrift, for your consideration. We have quite a few tracks up on Apple Music, Spotify, and posted for free on Bandcamp. Speaking of Adrift, do we have anything further on the two women who allegedly were on a boat for 5 weeks or 5 months?
Yes. How long? There are holes in that story.
Nigel, at the news desk.
Yeah. Yes. Nigel, do you have more? Because we did this yesterday.
They have pushed
when
back.
When I called them the Rosie Ruiz of
yes, that seems to be the case. Yes, there's more details now. There's now, first of all, some shark experts are casting a lot of doubt in the fact that there was a six-hour prolonged shark attack on the boat. They're like, if a shark's not going to attack a boat for that long, they're not going to be attracted to it, really.
Tastes like chicken.
Right.
Well, the women were saying that they were terrified they were going to die, that the sharks were circling and circling and circling and circling.
Right.
In smaller circles.
Right.
That's but they didn't throw pop one up. Of the dogs
and
over.
Then they just got really dizzy and fell over.
Yeah, that was it.
Right.
And like nobody had to say, I think we're going to need a bigger boat.
Right. And that's why one of the suspicious things of the case was the Coast Guard was like, well, you had this emergency beacon. Why didn't you use it?
Oh, totally forgot about
that.
Well,
no. And they're like, well, we didn't feel like we were under imminent threat, like we were going to die within a 24-hour period. So we just thought it was only for extreme emergencies. And they're like, well, when we picked you up, you said you couldn't last another day. So, and then there's also conflicting stories about them and the fishing boat that first discovered them. They said that they thought that their boat was trying to sink their boat so that they could have two sex slaves essentially
on the boat. Oh, please.
Yeah, so
Right.
So aquatic concubine.
The thing that bothered me was, no, we didn't want to pull into that port. It wasn't a good enough port. So we'll just go out to sea and be lost for months at a time.
Right. And again,
do we raise our hands? Nobody believes this story.
Yeah, no, they're looking for made for TV movies.
Yes. Yes. That's it. It's a grasp for fame.
Well, they will get one, but it'll be sort of like in like the same vein as the Menendez brothers got one.
Right.
It's like not the
And the biggest thing is they said they were caught in a 3-day storm that completely knocked them out. And
the
weather service.
The radar.
They were like, no, we'd seen that. Didn't happen.
All right. So we were supposed to give you David Pollack, and he's not here.
No.
So.
I reset the board to zero.
No, don't. I'm not even blaming you. I don't even care. I mean, I like David Pollack, but I don't really care. I want to talk about the college football rankings because I paid attention to the show. The college football rankings, the most important thing.
Can you talk to me about the show? Because I didn't watch the show. Like a brackets thing? Like, how do they do the show?
Yeah, Reese Davis is the anchor, and they have on Joey Galloway and Booger McFarlane and Jesse Palmer. And then they go to Kirk Herbstreit on remote, and they unveil it from 20 down, 20 to 15, you know, 15 to 10, 10 to 6.
And then
they stop at 6. And then they go top 6 because everybody sort of figures that if you're top 6,
coming from. Yeah.
You know, you're in play. So it would started out, Georgia was 1. I'll give you the top 4. In fact, I'll give you the top 6, 7, 8, whatever.
Actually, I think it's interesting. The bottom of the top 10 is interesting.
Right.
So I might go that
Georgia is 1. Alabama is 2. Notre Dame is 3.
Yeah.
Clemson, a one-loss team, is 4. Oklahoma is ahead of Ohio State. Oklahoma is 5. Ohio State is 6. And everybody was assuming Ohio State would be ahead of Oklahoma. But Oklahoma beat Ohio State head-to-head. Mm-hmm. Not 2 years ago. This year.
Right.
This year, head-to-head in Ohio State. So there's no way Ohio State can be ranked ahead of Oklahoma. TCU, Penn State, which lost at Ohio State by 1 point and should have won that game, is 7th. TCU, which just lost to Iowa State, is 8th. And then two undefeated teams in power conferences.
Yeah.
Wisconsin and Miami are 9 and 10. Let me stress that again. Undefeated teams in power conferences. Now, what is wrong with the poll? Well, the first thing that's wrong is that Georgia is ahead of Alabama. The reason Alabama should be ahead is not necessarily because they're going to play each other. They are likely to play in the SEC championship game. And by the way, if that's a 1 point, 2 point, a 3 point game, they're going to be
in.
They're both going to go in.
Right.
And that's justifiable. Mm-hmm. I wanted Alabama to be one because Saban didn't want to be one. Because Saban always talks about poison and what's poison and what's rat poor. You know, and Nick Saban has the appearance of human qualities, but he doesn't really seem to every time he talks to the media, it's dripping with condescension and you don't have to be that way. I mean, nobody points out that he strategically got his Coca-Cola bottle right out in front of him, for which he and the Alabama Crimson Tide are getting much money. They don't point out any of the clear commercial endorsement things that Saban does, or how Saban, when he wants to, is charming, but in most cases just doesn't want to and is mean and nasty. I put him, you know, to me, why do I dislike Greg Popovich? I never say Greg Popovich is a bad coach. I say because he treats people badly in circumstances where it's just for sport.
Yeah.
It's just for sport. With Nick Saban. So he didn't want to be one. I wanted him to be one. But Georgia has equal resume.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
No.
That's the disclaimer. But,
it doesn't matter.
But it's certainly fuel for if any of these teams were going to potentially be complacent, I mean, on the player level, you could expect that. You could understand it. Let me choose my words carefully. From Alabama. This gives them the opportunity to say, look, you haven't accomplished anything. Look at this. You know, so I would agree with you.
Notre Dame is 3. Now, you can argue that Notre Dame shouldn't be 3, but here's something that I believe is unarguable. If Notre Dame wins out and is 11-1 or 12-1 or whatever they would be, and included in their schedule now are Stanford and Miami, and I think those are at games. I think they're at Miami and at Stanford. If Notre Dame wins out, they're in, because you don't have a bigger draw for what is a television show than Notre Dame. Notre Dame's it.
Well, and
they're
also,
in.
They are where they are because of strength of schedule, even with their
100%.
One loss.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. They lost to Georgia by 1 point. Now, it was at Notre Dame, but there was a 1 point
and
loss.
And it was the first game
they're
for a
be
rookie
in.
Quarterback.
And
for,
also, I'm sure we're rooting for Coach Polian. And also, it'll drive Chris Saliza crazy.
Yes.
So those are two good reasons for them to be number 3.
It's great confluence on that.
Now, to that end, not that it would have made any sense to have them this low, but they could be where Miami and Wisconsin
wouldn't
are.
Matter.
Because it's the same deal with those two teams. People are all irate about that. But Miami, if they went out, well, that means they will have beaten Notre Dame,
and
which
Clemson.
Is going to give them a big jump. And Clemson.
And
so.
Clemson. Right. Now, I'm a little surprised Clemson is four, because Clemson got beat by Syracuse. Syracuse is not a great team.
Yeah.
And Clemson got beat by Syracuse. Now, if you go under them, you go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma got beat by Iowa State. But Iowa State also beat TCU, which was undefeated. That, to me, is a better loss than Clemson's loss. Ohio State's loss is to Oklahoma, a better loss than Clemson's loss. Penn State's loss is to Ohio State, a better loss than Clemson's loss. So I'm surprised Clemson is that
high.
How
much does reigning national champion
don't
count?
Know. I don't think it should. I mean, this
I
is
either.
This year's team.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter.
This is
right.
This year, not last year. So I'm surprised at Clemson. Now we get to Wisconsin
now,
and Miami.
Now, again, Clemson to retain that is going to have to earn it because they would have to beat Miami.
Yeah, but Miami is now the ninth-ranked team or the
10th-ranked
team.
Yeah.
Now, this is open for discussion. Miami and Wisconsin play in power conferences. They are, to the moment, undefeated, and they are ranked behind a lot of these one-loss teams. What are your thoughts on that?
I think
that's got to be scheduled.
Again, I would go back to our disclaimer that none of this matters. I mean,
if
this is going to go to the four of these teams that win the rest of their games. And so there's a lot. So you have Notre Dame plays Miami.
Yep.
You have Clemson who plays Miami.
Yep.
So I guess theoretically Miami could lose both of those.
They're out.
They lose one, they're out.
They're out.
But if they beat either one of those other teams, then that team is out.
Yes, because that's a two-loss team.
So the Georgia-Alabama thing, I mean, the question
that's
I have, and we've been talking
game.
About this for weeks, is there a scenario where those two meet undefeated, play a game, and the loser is on the outside looking in?
Well,
and it seems difficult because they will be 1-2 if they play when they are undefeated.
Here's what we now know.
So would one of them
sure?
go
well,
to
if it's
five?
A 45-0 game, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Here's what we now know for sure. The Pac-12 is out. The highest-ranked team in the Pac-12 is a one-loss Washington team. They're not getting in. There are four spots available. If Notre Dame does not win out, Notre Dame will not get in. So that makes it more likely that two SEC teams than an ACC team and a Big Ten team get in. Though I think you could ultimately try to make a case for two Big Ten teams. You might be able to do that.
Yes, and there's a scenario where there would be no Big Ten teams.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's one of the more interesting early polls.
I like the show. I mean, I think that's a good show. I sort of like these ranking shows. I think that they're interesting. I had a whole bunch of questions for a guest, but we don't have a guest.
Well, give Gene one of them.
Okay.
Pull it out
Gene,
of my
why
lungs.
Is Auburn ahead of LSU in the second 10? Because LSU beat Auburn.
Oh, that's East Coast bias. I didn't mean to steal that from you, but that's clear East Coast bias.
Yeah.
Good job.
In my opinion.
No, I think it's because LSU lost to a D3 school at one point. Lost to
that's
Trump.
Right.
Yeah, although
that's
LSU's
homecoming.
LSU right? gets better and better and better and better.
That's
what if LSU
late.
Knocks off Alabama?
Well, they're 6-2 right now, LSU. So
what if they knock off Alabama?
They would
they
make
haven't
a
played
big
Alabama
leap.
Yet, have they?
Carville would be on the moon if that happened.
Carville would be the happiest guy in the world. So, all right.
Do
we have anything else? I think we did well.
Yeah, so we move on.
Yeah.
We leave. It's a podcast. It's not you're not restricted by radio stuff anymore.
Fantastic.
It's gonna be a 5-minute segment.
Fantastic. What do we have next? We have news with Carville is
yes,
in the news.
And Jeff Ma as well.
But we can stretch it. You know why? Because we don't have a hard out.
By the way, LSU at Alabama this weekend.
Oh, good.
So that's
well,
a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the MeUndies ad. MeUndies makes feel-good undies your fanny will be proud to wear. Notice I said fanny there.
Yes, you did.
This will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out yourself, go to MeUndies, MEUNDIES.com/TonyK. With tons of styles and patterns to choose from both men, and they say ladies. Gene, shouldn't they say men and women?
Yes, they should.
Men and women. MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. I would rather have a perfect fit for my can. Not my personality. That's just me personally.
Especially since you're prickly.
Yeah.
So you don't want underwear that fits your personality.
Yeah. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched because they use a naturally soft fabric 3 times softer than cotton. We ought to get that and put Bootsy in it. Really
oh,
soft
Bootsy
fabric.
Would love that. They should do a MeUndies onesie.
They should.
Me onesie.
For a limited time only, check out MeUndies' first ever glow-in-the-dark print, Lights Out. Why not update your underwear drawer and glow at the same time? And if underwear isn't your thing, I don't know that you want to say that, MeUndies also makes the softest socks in the world. We're trying to get socks. We tried to get Guy's potato chips from Kansas City. We are striking out on everything we try.
Don't have it anymore.
Those have not arrived yet.
You know, nothing. To get 20% off the best and softest underwear and socks you will ever own, and free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, all you do is you go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Jeremy Anderson sent this in. It's a song from his band Radical Chic from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We would be honored if you'd play it on the pod. Of course we're going to play it on the pod. And after we're done with this whole podcast, you'll hear all of it. It was the Graves Hotel in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Not the Grand Hotel.
No, the Graves Hotel with that weird, very weird paintings on the wall. Like, yeah, just weird, you know.
Like M.C. Escher weird?
Like psychosexual paintings.
Like Salvador Dali?
No, they were... You know,
okay.
Satyrs or sardars, what are those things called?
You know, cats playing poker.
Yeah, it was It was like really not good at all. Made me nuts. Elizabeth Kornheiser is in the house.
All right.
Hey, Lizzie.
Rhonda Giovanni is in the house. We're very happy to have them here. So we're going to do news here, but Jeff Ma is with us.
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff suffered a bad week last week. Jeff was 1-3 last week, but Jeff at 4-4 is still has a better percentage than anybody else we have picking games. How did the podcast go last week? And when you have a week like this, when you go 1-3, and these are just selected picks that you do for me, but what is that like for you?
Well, our college picks that we gave out on the podcast were 4-2. That Penn State Ohio State game was a bit unfortunate, as Ohio State spotted them 14 points, and obviously we all saw what happened. It would end up being a great game. The numbers that we have that sort of like look at, you know, take kind of strip some of the luck and some of the things that happened out of it, said actually that Ohio State did outplay them by about 10 points. So, I mean, when you look back on these things, you kind of look at a certain amount of the game kind of being determined by luck, by turnovers, by kick returns and things like that. And you kind of look at whether certain bets you made were good or were bad. I think in that instance, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I probably would still take Ohio State. Some of the other plays that I gave you, I don't think I would take Seattle again. Certainly that Seattle-Houston game seemed like Houston played right with them the whole time. That Washington game, it was unfortunate. They were about to go up by 9 points, getting 2.5, and block kick changed the whole game. And then Washington never seemed to really recover from that. Who knows? I mean, that independent of that block kick, maybe the Cowboys just were going to keep running it down their throat, and those injuries were going to catch up with the Redskins. But again, in that situation, I probably would have taken the Redskins again, even seeing what I saw on the field. So. Sometimes they don't go your way. It's not good to be 500. I don't want to be one of your pickers that's 500, but I'll do my best this week.
here's what I wonder about. I stopped gambling because I could not watch the games. I mean, I was so involved in my bet that I could not watch and like the games anymore. Right. When you are watching, if you are watching Seattle-Houston, that is a thrilling game. That's the best game of the NFL season so far. Do you look at it that way, or are you just looking, well, I thought that, you know, X team would win, and I thought Seattle would cover, and so I can't appreciate what a great game this is?
No, absolutely not. I mean, one of my buddies is a huge Seahawks fan and just had a child, came over to my house to watch the game, and I told him before he came over, listen, I'm going to be a huge Seattle fan with you. So when he came over, and he's not someone that gambles, so he doesn't really know the spreads and things like that. And I kind of said to him, you know, he asked like kind of what the bet was, and I told him early on. And obviously he just kind of forgot and got interested and involved in, you know, and I rooted with him the whole way for Seattle and kind of went back and forth. Even to the point when, you know, Seattle scored and went up, he kind of fist pumped me and I kind of smiled and I kind of enjoyed it. And then at the end he said, so you won, right? And I'm like, no.
No, not in cover.
But I mean, the point is, like, if you can't enjoy a game like that because you're betting, then you should stop betting. Because, you know, and the same thing is true of the Ohio State game. That Ohio State game was unbelievable. I wanted Ohio State to come back. Like, on our podcast week one, we've been talking about how Ohio State was a good futures bet to win there at that time. I think they were like 8-1. Oh no, sorry, I think they were 8-1. They've got up as high as after they lost to Oklahoma over 10-1, and we've been saying that they've been a good pick all year. We really do have them ranked as the number two team in college. And so I was rooting for them because I think they have a legitimate shot to win the national championship. So, I enjoyed that Penn State game, Ohio State game a lot, even though there was no chance I was going to win that bet basically after the first quarter or first minute.
All right, Jeff, what do you have? Well, let's plug the podcast again. Give the name of it in case people want to listen to it, which they should.
It's called Bet the Process. It's obviously about sports betting and analytics, and it's really trying to give people not just picks, obviously, but just a way to think about sports betting and to sort of raise the conversation around it by using actual data and real analytics behind sort of what we're doing and what we're talking about.
Okay. Tell us what you got this week.
All right. In college, our one college game is going to be Oklahoma against Oklahoma State. They're getting 2.5 points. I like Oklahoma. I think they should be favored in this game. I think they're going to win outright. And again, Oklahoma State's still a little bit overrated because of that high-powered offense. And I like Oklahoma, a team that I think is going to get better as the season goes on.
Okay.
On Thursday night, tomorrow night, Color Rush, a battle of two teams that, you know, going into the season, people would have thought would be battling basically for the number one draft pick, but both have played much better. I mean, it's hard to believe that that Buffalo's 5-2. But the Jets are getting 3.5 points. They actually have a better offense in yards per play than Buffalo, and they have a comparable defense. So you would ask, why is Buffalo 5-2? Well, Buffalo's the number one team in the league in turnover margin. They're averaging +2 turnovers per game over their competitors, and that's something that we believe is not necessarily sustainable going forward. So if it corrects where they have sort of an average turnover margin, they become a team that's probably worse or at least is equal to the Jets, and therefore the Jets should not be getting 3.5 points. So I like the Jets +3.5.
Jeff, does that travel well, turnover margin, or does it typically not? Is that typically sort of a more home-centric stat?
It's pretty noisy, so it's hard to say, like, home versus road. And you know, I don't actually know about how predictive that is, road versus home, but my guess is that it's not very predictive just simply because turnovers tend to be pretty random. I mean, just creating a turnover is random, and then actually recovering a fumble is very random. Interceptions are a little bit more predictive, meaning, like, some of the things that they've looked at is that quarterbacks that have a low completion rating generally are going to throw more interceptions, which obviously makes sense.
Yeah.
There's also some things about like sacks and things like that that can be predicted for turnovers. But generally, like, turnovers are very, very noisy, meaning, like, just because you've turned the ball over a lot doesn't mean you're going to turn the ball over a lot going forward.
Okay, so we've got the Jets on that one tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else, or is that it? Okay, go ahead.
No, I got two more for you. I'm going to try to do four each week. Denver,
okay.
+8 against Philly. They are the opposite of Buffalo. They are at -1.6 turnover margin per game. They still have the number one defense in the league in terms of yards per play. In fact, their yards per play differential, meaning their offense versus their defense, is better than Philly. And this line should be arguably closer to Philly only giving 3 or 4 points. And one of the things that you see in sports betting, like, what is the narrative right now about Philly?
Best team in the league.
Well, one of.
They just got better.
Carson Wentz, and they just got better. They picked up Ajayi. Yeah, I mean, they look like a team really on the rise.
Right. So that narrative causes there to be lots of value in this line where Denver should not be getting 8 points.
Right.
I think Denver +8 is good value there.
Okay.
And then finally, we're going to go to a couple stinky teams. San Francisco +2. Obviously, the Garoppolo trade won't impact them this week, but they are, you know, in terms of yards per play allowed offensively and defensively, pretty close to where Arizona is. And Arizona loses Carson Palmer and has Stanton. And we do have a lot of data and track record on Stanton that he's not a very good NFL quarterback. So I think San Francisco at home getting 2 points against an Arizona team that really is not very much better than San Francisco should be good value here.
Wow. San Francisco. I mean, I'm afraid of everything they do, San Francisco.
Yeah, well, you forget, to Jeff's point, you know, Carson Palmer out.
He's out.
And I think that's largely forgotten just because I think Arizona was on a bye last week.
They had a bye. And San Francisco looked really bad. They had been close, right, Jeff, in the first four or five games, and then they begin to drift away in terms of the next two or three. They've been out by a lot. So that's good.
And Jeff, they certainly played two bad games. But again, that's like what this whole thing is about. It's about like betting where people don't want to bet. I mean, who in their right mind would want to take the San Francisco 49ers right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, when Jeff said if the betting affects your enjoyment of the game, you shouldn't be betting, I would also say, tongue-in-cheek, if you're betting Cardinals Niners, you probably shouldn't be betting.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, yeah, you got to kiss a lot of ugly frogs before you find a princess, right?
Indeed, right. Indeed.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. All right, bye, guys.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls, who's smarter than all of us collectively at this table and has chosen to spend his life doing sports betting, which is really – it's like that's Andy Beyer. Andy Beyer
right.
Just chose to do his entire life about horse racing.
Yeah. Well,
worked out very well. Do you have any news for us?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. You talked about the Ajayi trade to the Eagles for that fourth-round pick. Some other action at the deadline, including the – Bills acquiring a wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, from the Panthers.
How does Carolina trade him? How do they trade him?
Don't know.
What did they get? They get a mattress? What did they get?
A fourth rounder, I believe.
That's a trade.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the contract's up and they figured they weren't going to pay him, so you get what you can.
Yeah, he has 32 catches, two touchdowns, and leads the Panthers with 475 yards.
Well, not anymore. Well, I guess he does still lead the Panthers.
Yes, he still does, until this weekend. By the way, the 49ers released traded a quarterback to the Jets, and they also released Brian Hoyer, who it's many believe will become the new backup in New England. Yes, because he's been there before.
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
You talked about the Ajayi trade, and also the Seahawks get offensive lineman Dwayne Brown from the Texans.
This is very interesting. Had the Philadelphia Eagles gotten him, it would have made a lot more sense, because Philadelphia Eagles lost Jason Peters, who's a multiple-time Pro Bowler, and they really needed a lineman. Dwayne Brown was traded from Houston for an obvious reason. He was very critical of Bob McNair. He said Bob McNair's comments were ignorant and embarrassing, and Dwayne Brown had held out for 5 weeks of the season and had played one game. And I have no doubt that Bob McNair called up his general manager and said, get him out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see this guy ever again. And that is to Seattle's huge benefit.
There was also one other trade that almost happened. Yes, the Browns and the Bengals appeared to have an agreement. Didn't appear. They did have an agreement that would have sent quarterback A.J. McCarron to the Browns for a second and a third round pick, a nice haul of picks for the Bengals. And the Bengals notified the league at 3:55 p.m. The Browns didn't notify the league until just after 4 p.m.
They're a clown franchise.
Because apparently, according to some
each other,
they were celebrating over the trade.
They're clowns.
Yes.
Their coach is a clown. Their general manager is a clown. Their director of operations is a clown. Their owner is a clown.
Now, they claim...
They stink.
They claim that they sent the paperwork to the Bengals with their signature on it, and the Bengals only turned around and sent the one with their signature on it. But still, I would think
they're
the Browns.
A clown franchise.
Yes.
Now, I have to say, I thought a little bit about the Redskins' acquisition of Donovan McNabb when I heard this trade, because I thought, if they were so high on A.J. McCarron, why would they let him go to a division rival?
They don't think he's any good.
No. Yeah.
Because they don't think he's any good. All right.
And the 76ers don't think Jahlil Okafor is any good.
This is a stunner to me.
Yeah.
They will not exercise his fourth-year option.
The kid was the number three overall pick 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He went to Duke for 1 year, and he was praised constantly for being tremendously fundamentally sound. Not much of a defensive player, but new position, knew how to use his body underneath that, because they don't have centers any. The centers have moved out. They take jump shots now.
The three-point shots,
the entire architecture of pro basketball has changed.
Yeah, they said, I guess, with Embiid, Simmons, and Saric, they just don't have room for him.
Yeah, well, Embiid's great.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's...
If he's healthy.
If he's healthy.
Right. And the Nets sold. The Nets have been sold. The New Jersey Nets have been sold for $2.3 billion.
That's so much money.
To Taiwanese billionaire Joseph Tsai, agreed to buy 49% with an option to assume majority control in 4 years.
For the same amount of money.
Same amount of money. Now, the good thing for Prokhorov is... He gets to control the team for the next few years, but he also retains...
Keeps the arena,
which apparently is profitable.
You don't get the arena. This is a Barclays Center. You don't get the arena. You get just this basketball team, and this guy's from China. So when he hears this, he's going to go, really? I didn't know this. The Brooklyn Nets are never going to be meaningful in New York City the way the Knicks are. This is like the Clippers and the Lakers. It doesn't matter how many championships you win. But the NBA likes that foothold in China.
Yes,
sure. I understand that, and that's wonderful. So maybe they'll give him some money back. But he has bought He has spent more money for a team than has ever been paid in that league before for the second team in town, a team that is not – well, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter if people go into the arena because maybe your television contracts are so high – that it doesn't matter.
So I'm understanding this correctly. Is he paying $2.3 billion for
the whole team?
Okay, so half now and half.
49%
yes.
Now. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And apparently...
it's a lot of money.
They say the next team that could be up for sale is the Phoenix Suns and Colangelo. You know how much he bought? They bought that team in 2004. You don't know how much for?
$40
million? $401 million. Okay. Probably sell for, you know, yeah. 2.5.
Well, I don't know. That's what you don't know, because a year and a half ago, the Milwaukee Bucks sold for $600 million.
Was it the Clippers sale that sort of put this over the roof?
Yeah. Well, even after that, they sold for that. And there was nothing like these billions of dollars. Billions of dollars in your mind were reserved for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
For NFL franchises.
A billion. Right.
Yeah,
now,
this is an unbelievable sum of money.
Yes.
If only Chatter could make one 100.
Or put together a basketball team.
Yeah. Right. If only we could do that. So, all right, we good?
We are.
All right, well, let's get out of here. What do we have? Old Guy and Chuck Todd when we return.
That's right.
All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
In need of great talent for your business but short on time? You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools. You need smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click, so you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. And now my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Now, I don't know how many of you have jobs to post. But if you do, you can go on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony K. That's ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. It's not Tony K. It's even easier. It's just Tony. You can leave off the K. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day, as I saw her standing there. Nigel, why are we playing this other than the fact that it's great?
It's a pretty good song, isn't it?
Great.
We are playing this because on this date in 1963, the Beatles made their first appearance as a tour headliner. They'd always been a supporting act before then. This is at a show in Gloucestershire, England. On the set list, a couple of songs. I Saw Her Standing There, From Me to You, All My Loving. Not sure if those songs ever did much.
So if you listen carefully, this is a Paul Lead.
Yes.
And you will hear him pronounce the word S-A-W as S-A-W-R, sore. And I remember the first time they were on the Ed Sullivan Show and they did Till There Was You. And it was so pronounced, sore. And I went, well, maybe he has a speech impediment. I mean, I guess that's how it's pronounced in Liverpool. But do you remember that, Gene?
Absolutely.
It was Till There Was You, which is a great tune by the Beatles. Anyway, yes. Chuck Todd joins us now. Chuck, again, 3-4, but he had bad beats. He lost the New Orleans game by 1 point. Chicago covered.
Jets.
He lost the Jets by a half a point with Atlanta.
He was on the right side of that.
That was bad for you, right? You were like 0-4 at one point.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of half-point beatdowns.
Yeah.
There was a ton of those. It's as if those Vegas guys know what they're doing. I don't know.
They must. Are you ready for this week?
I want to hear about Chuck's Halloween.
Oh, how was your Halloween?
Kids, right?
Yes. How was your Halloween?
Oh, it was great. I mean, this is the first year my 10-year-old didn't want me around. And this, of course, was the pillowcase year. You know, there's always that year in your kid, right? And I remember it as a kid where you think, No, I'm taking a pillowcase.
Right, we're going big. Go big or go home.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you're thinking, of course, you come home and you're like, Jesus, I've been out there for a while. And the pillowcase is only, you forget how big a damn pillowcase is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But he came home half in, and then he comes and his two buddies, they start trading.
and my son likes Kit Kats. I hate Kit Kats. I think Kit Kats are the worst of them. You know, I've got, and he trades all the good stuff for Kit Kats.
What is the good stuff to you? Like, because the good stuff had better not be the things I hate, like Skittles and Starburst. I hate those.
No. I'm like a baby. I like the peanut butter cups.
Yeah,
that's big with me. That's huge. Give me Butterfingers. I know that's not always popular with
like some. Butterfingers, like Almond Joy, uh-huh. like Mounds, like
yeah.
them.
I have no idea what the flavor of Butterfinger is. Is it peanut butter? Is it, you know, maybe you don't
want really
to know.
It's really good.
What did he do for a costume, Chuck?
What did he wear?
Did he go as Ezekiel Elliott?
No, he went as an inflatable sumo wrestler.
I saw a few of those.
So you didn't go out with...
It was a little uncomfortable. They decided to draw man boobs on the sumo wrestler. I don't know how else to describe it. So my son is walking around with inflatable man boobs. I wasn't quite sure why this costume ended up there, but okay.
Do you walk around with a couple of beers in your hand, or did you stay at home?
No. I did some at home because I wasn't allowed to go with them. And then we have a block party that is BYOB.
Yeah.
Then the adult beverages are flowing, and then another neighbor of ours does soup and other refreshments for us parents while we wait.
I got to think a neighborhood party for Chuck Todd on Halloween, that would be a tough call. Right, Chuck? I mean, I'm not going to ask you to bash your neighbors, but it's got to be like, hey, man, what is going on here? Talk to me, right?
Say yes. Well,
that's got to be the worst.
Well, normally, this is the one I actually don't mind going to because I like to do the survey of Virginia governor.
Right.
So let's just say nobody wanted to ask me about Ed Gillespie or Ralph Northam. It was all Bob Mueller. But yes, you're right, Gary. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of. So what does this all mean? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some games. Okay. Denver, which cannot score. They're averaging 18 points a game. They have a crisis at quarterback. For all you know, you might get Paxton Lynch instead of Trevor Siemian. Denver's getting 7.5 at Philadelphia, which just got a little bit better at running back where they were already good.
7.5 is a lot, but I'm with you. I don't know how Denver scores. I smell Lynch coming in and quick trigger. Jay Ajayi, runs, gets a passing touchdown, catching it out of the backfield. Give me the Eagles.
I would do the same thing.
Cover.
The Los Angeles Rams go all the way across the country, which is usually bad for West Coast teams.
They come all the way.
But isn't that a bye week? Aren't they off a bye week?
Yeah, the Rams are off a bye week. The Rams are giving 3.5. They're at the Giants. Giants are a tremendous disappointment. The Giants also off a bye week, right? Giants off a bye week.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, 3.5. Yeah. If you like the Rams, who are suddenly good, if you like the Rams, you give 3.5.
It's all because I don't like the Giants, but this game smells like
to me.
The game that we all go, oh, the Rams aren't that good.
That's
yet.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to go with my gut here. I'm going to take the Giants and then assume the Rams aren't quite ready.
I would do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I would there. Here's
it smells about it.
Atlanta, which beat you last week. Atlanta beat you by a half a point. Atlanta is getting two at Carolina. Carolina is 5-3, and for reasons that no one understands, just traded a 6'4" wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, who was good. That needs to be explained to me. Atlanta getting two, divisional rival at Carolina.
There's a lot of teams with winning records that I don't understand why they have a winning record. Carolina might be at the top of that list. I don't get it. I don't see how they're that good. Give me Atlanta.
Going to take Atlanta plus two?
Give me Atlanta. Yep, that's not enough. How is Carolina favored?
I don't know.
I just don't know.
I get
that Atlanta. Yeah, I don't trust Atlanta, but no.
We're going to stay in that division. Stay in the NFC South division. Tampa Bay is getting 7 at New Orleans. New Orleans is inexplicably 5-2. I think they may have won 5 in a row. Their defense has gotten better. They have Drew Brees. Tampa Bay, one of the teams along with Oakland that I thought would be really good this year, is not really good this year. Jameis Winston, not really good this year. They're getting 7 at New Orleans. It's a lot.
Look, I was with you. I was on the Tampa bandwagon. I just don't see it. I know that I don't like this line, but I don't have faith in Tampa Bay to cover 7. So give me the Saints. I know Tampa could backdoor. It could be one of these games that's 35-10, and then we come back and you guys say, oh, you got screwed by a backdoor cover because Jameis, you know, scored three touchdowns late, which is probably true, but give me the Saints. They'll at least cover until the last 3 minutes of the game.
Yes, they will do that when they let the other team
that
in.
I promise.
Well, Vegas says that counts.
Yeah, 57-minute line. Yeah. They have that in
Vegas. Have the early. It's called the early line. Until the last 3 minutes. Rough. Kansas City is allegedly a pick'em game at Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott, we think, is going to be out. I mean, I don't know. I think he's going to be out. Has that line moved overnight?
No, we checked it this morning. It's
Kansas City.
It's still pick'em. Chuck and I were prepared to set our own line of Kansas City -2 or 2.5. But it still says pick'em on the...
This is really...
I mean, Gary, do you want to double check real quick?
Yeah, that's very close. I mean, I actually see some places here. Dallas, actually, it's a point either way. I see +1, -1 pick'em.
So I'll call it pick'em. I'm sort of surprised. I would take Kansas City in this one over Dallas if Ezekiel Elliott doesn't play. What have you got?
Well, but could Vegas be just worried that some judge is coming in again, and that's why they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting?
Sure.
I'm assuming that the gig is up. So give me Kansas City. And this is one of those I'd hurry up and put money in today.
Yeah, well, you get to do that. If the line moves, you get it at pick.
Yeah.
You get it at
hurry
that.
Up and get it today.
Right,
getting Kansas City at pick 'em is a gift against any team in the league, I think, right now.
Divisional game at Green Bay. Detroit -2.5 at Green Bay. And you go, your first response is, what are you kidding me? But Aaron Rodgers doesn't play anymore. Although they have now had a week and a half to work Brett Hundley in.
Right.
And maybe
sort of, but do you know that Brett Hundley, he sent everybody on vacation. He gave them a whole week off. McCarthy did.
Wow.
I'm a Packer fan. It sort of irked me. It's like, excuse me?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
You're not taking a vacation, buddy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
You're not taking a vacation. Come learn this offense. That said, I actually have a little bit of faith that Hundley, Packers almost had many chances to beat the Saints with Brett Hundley doing nothing. I got to think he'll do something, and the Lions will somehow blow this game. Give me the Packers.
Lions are outdoors.
Outright.
They don't like to be outdoors. I don't know how cold Green Bay will be.
I like that as a money line game.
Actually. You like Green Bay?
I like Green Bay to win the game. So, and if you get give me the extra action.
Okay. And for your information, +120 to +125 for Green Bay, if you like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Washington is at Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks looked great offensively last week against Houston. They looked great. The Washington Redskins did not. And if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm not happy. I'm not happy that San Francisco just picked up Jimmy Garoppolo and seemed to have shut down my option there. I don't know what he's mentally like going into that game. They're getting 7.5, which is really a lot of points. But Seattle scored 41. What do you? And they're banged up. The Redskins are banged up. What do you got?
They are. Although I think if you're Kirk Cousins, doesn't Jacksonville look like a nice landing spot right now? Better than San Francisco anyway?
Denver could be a nice landing spot too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not crying for Kirk Cousins just yet. And I think I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to make himself a lot of money. Give me the, as they like to say out there, the other Washington.
Okay, you're gonna take Seattle.
Give me Seattle.
You're gonna take Seattle at home
to cover that spread. By the way, best game. That was an unbelievable game.
Yes, best game of the year.
World Series. Right. We would be talking about that Houston Seattle game.
No, that was the best NFL game of the year. That was great to watch. What do you got on Sunday? What do you got on Meet the Press? Or is it too early to know? Because it's only Wednesday.
No, it's actually. I'm not supposed to tell you yet. It's our big anniversary show. Do you know that this Sunday, technically it's Monday, but it was November 6, 1947, that Meet the Press was born.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So it is our big birthday show on November 5th. We have a special guest, but I can't. In all honesty, we agreed. If you had had me in my regularly scheduled slot.
No, that's okay. Is it Sandy
Thursday,
Koufax?
I could have told you.
Sandy Koufax would be great. Sandy Koufax, I hope.
I have an invite to him most weeks.
Yeah, just he'd be so great to have on the show.
He's throwing out the first pitch tonight, isn't he? He's the only Dodger legend that hasn't.
I think he's actually starting.
He may, right?
I think he's going to try and give him three.
Yeah. Roberts will pull him and bring in Morrow.
Yeah. By the way, I got to give both teams credit. These little, I'm a sucker for this World Series. It's just been so much, so fun. I love, both cities have done great first pitches.
Yes.
They're, you
absolutely.
Know, the ceremonies have been so much fun, whether you're a Dodger fan, an Astro fan, a Patriot, the Bush, the father's son, all that stuff. That Fernando Scully thing. You know, the whole thing's been fun. They've done well.
We'll all watch tonight, and we'll watch on Sunday. Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, guys.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls. Always good to have him. We will take a break. We will come back with what?
What about Reginald?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot all about Reginald.
Because if you gave him just Chuck, that would be enough.
Yeah,
so it's an understandable mistake.
What? Yes. Okay.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Reginald's got the bites by two. Sometimes he throws poo, poo, poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So you went to the zoo.
I did go to the zoo, and it was last night. It was very crowded. He was having a costume party in his cage with a lot of guests. I'm not sure you'd call them A-listers. Here's who was there. Dabney Coleman, Val Kilmer, Rich Little. I'm not sure if you remember. Donnie Most. Do you remember him?
Yes. I do remember Donnie Most.
Ralph Mouth.
Yeah, and Dolly Parton. So it was a lovely crowd.
Yeah, but he didn't have Bootsy. For Bootsy's first Halloween.
No, Bootsy might have been there before I got there. I'm not sure. But it was a very exciting time. But they took a break from the party for Reginald to talk to me about the games.
Reginald had a bad week again. 1-2, and he's 11-13.
Yeah, two under.
Yeah.
He's 2-under, mount 500.
But for a monkey, he has won 11 games.
I understand. Yeah,
it's bad for a monkey.
Yes. So, well, the first game we gave him was the Rams giving 3.5 at the Giants. And what he did was he pulled out his iPad. He showed me an old video. It was a director's cut of Randy Newman's I Love L.A. But instead of the big, nasty redhead in the car, it was Reginald.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that was an original lyric.
Big, nasty monkey by my side.
Yes. So, but clearly he's
and
got...
And we were born to ride.
Yes, they were. So he clearly has ties to the Rams. So he'll take the Rams and give the 3.5 in that. The next game we gave him was the Dallas-Kansas City pick'em game. Mm. And this might surprise you because you think, well, Kansas City probably is going to win this. But for some reason, he loves Dallas. He showed me a video of him at a celebrity rodeo with Larry Hagman, Tom Landry, Drew Pearson. They're all riding around on...
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, like a rhinestone cowboy.
Exactly.
As we like
yes.
to say.
And Reginald does look good in a 10-gallon hat.
I just, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's going to play in that game.
Does not appear as if he will.
No, I just don't.
But he loves Dallas
Ezekiel
in that game.
Ezekiel Elliott's got 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games.
He's played well the last
413
game.
Yards.
But that offensive line makes some holes. And they got 2 guys there who
got
the ball.
Your boy,
a
Alfred
bit.
Mars. Yeah. He's still driving that Honda.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Still driving a 1991 Honda.
Honda or Mazda?
Whatever it was.
Well, the last game we gave him.
That he got that Honda before Michael was born.
I believe he did,
it's true.
Yes. The last game we gave him, of course, is the Redskins getting 7.5 at the Seahawks. And I don't know if you knew about this. This is a picture he showed me of him trick-or-treating with the Squire back in the day.
Is that right?
And it was
and
so
cute.
And
the dog, did they have Coco out there in front?
Well, Coco was with them, yes. And they were dressed as Randolph and Mortimer Duke from the Trading
was
Places.
Marlena?
Oh, yes.
Was
yes.
Marlena
sure.
there?
I did not see Marlena.
Yeah, Marlena was behind them throwing shoes. Marlena was throwing shoes.
Yes.
Those were the good old days.
Sure.
They
were great.
I mean, that owner.
Love the Squire.
You know,
yeah.
Who doesn't love the Squire? All yes. right, that's great. We'll take a break and we come back with Email and Jingle.
That's right.
When we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Everybody here has the Harry's razor. Everybody here is happy with the Harry's razor. They ask you to do personal endorsements. Let me say this again. Everyone here. Excuse me. Everyone here happy with the Harry's razor. And Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades, they will give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at Harry's, HARRYS.com/Tony K. All you have to do is pay for shipping. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, still claiming to be two ordinary guys who were fed up with buying overpriced razors, they started Harry's to fix shaving. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience to ensure the highest quality. All products are backed by 100% quality guarantee. Harry's offers their blades at half the price. Let me repeat that, half the price of the leading five-blade razor, selling directly to you over the internet. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. This is a $13 value. It's early in the morning when I do this. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up and all you do is cover shipping. And your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel. Yeah, why was I going to say Jave Shell? You know how you do that? You transpose every once in a while. Rich lathering shave gel and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/TonyK right now. That's harrys.com/TonyK.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tail up goes too crowded, DuPont circles, I got the pump. Jennifer Street is the place you want to be for a slightly antiquated bar. It's a full-service spot where the chili is hot and the room is full of ambient noise. And though it might be for profit, his money got to stop it. You know it's just a shiny toy for you and your boys. And he said you don't need to buy your own plane. And don't invest in no penny stocks. You don't shoot your wad on a thoroughbred racehorse, and you don't buy a restaurant.
That's really good.
That is really good.
Brad Weiss, Williamsburg, Virginia. Don't mess around with Jim. That was really, really good. Thank you. And sad but true, I might say. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Meet the Press host Chuck Todd and our predictive genius Jeff Ma for coming on the show. Let's thank our sponsors today, MeUndies, Harry's Razor, ZipRecruiter, and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We had dress-up day yesterday on PTI. Wilbon went as Cam Newton and changed hats and glasses with every new segment, and I went as Justin Turner. And we the beard that we had was brown. It was sort of a chestnut brown, and I said, no, it's got to be more orange. It's got to be more ginger colored.
Yes.
And so we messed around with spraying it with sort of a red color. The red, which then was on my hands, my cheek, my neck, and I could barely get it off. I mean, and it smelled awful.
I'm sure it went well with your cape for trick-or-treaters.
Yeah. Cheeve in Somerville, Massachusetts, based on the fact that most reads recently, I have begun with an update on the temperature in the 20015. Can we safely assume that Blue Apron will be sponsoring this year's winter weather forecast? Winter weather forecast is a month away.
Yes.
Right? Kevin is ready to go?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Todd Berkner in Adamstown, Maryland. Berkner. Can you please share your personal experiences with Husky Ratchets? I said,
oh, yeah, you've got some
personal
memories.
I don't know
what
a ratchet is. I don't have any idea.
Nurse Ratchet.
When you tell me, yeah, I got Nurse Ratchet. I got Ken Kesey. I don't have any idea what an actual ratchet is. From Jeff Rivet in Chicopee, Massachusetts. I was lucky enough to be taught how to play golf by my great uncle. The entire summer before I started high school, I got to play golf with him each Monday morning at 7 in the morning. We were usually the second group off, always done by 11:30. He told me I wasn't good enough to take 8 practice swings, and that chipping and putting were more important than being able to crush your driver. The first time we played, he explained how tee boxes worked, and I was able to play from the white tees. When I asked him why he got to play from the gold tees, his response was, "The gold tees are reserved for old people." He also liked to complain that the local sports teams would never win and was incredibly serious about his tomato plants. I just hope you are still playing golf at 80, and I hope to be. Mike in Burke, Virginia. I have started a new charity. We will accept donations for each time you use a variation on the phrase, "He sat next to Joe Madden for 10 years for Dave Martinez. We think we can cure cancer by Friday." You think I'm going to say it that often, do you? Parker Grotto, why is everyone forced to listen to and pretend Michael is not horrible? People are longstanding loyal fans to all the well-educated, well-spoken people on the show. Hashtag dead air would be better. Michael.
Ouch. That was sent at 12:53 a.m. Oh, he sent another email 7 minutes earlier. You don't want to hear that one.
That's even worse?
Even worse.
I would like to.
From Orrin Hirsch in Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm a transportation planner. This year's for Halloween. Our boss encouraged us to come in to the office in costume. While a number of us had transit-themed costumes, my office mate came in as a Metro Track Fire. And he has an attached photo with burns all over his face. And last I checked, is on track to win the Scariest Costume Award. He even wore said costume on the red line to the office this morning. Oh. If you hear about any issues on the red line this afternoon, you will know why.
Nice line.
David Carpenter's mailman says, just listen to yesterday's email section. I'm on it. I'll stop at his this afternoon. I wanted to get an email from Dave Carpenter, who was my roommate in college.
That's right.
Remember? Marcus O'Sullivan in Phoenix. When Saliza was talking about his son's soccer celebration, he said, he's my son. Use your imagination. So what popped in my head was him screaming in fear by a potential hangnail. Or he was wearing a shirt that's four sizes too small. And now that I've trash talked a lot, I'll show myself out. But Saliza asked for it. From Blue Funk in Big Fork, Montana, that's Maury's friend who owns the restaurant, right? Dear Dr. Porthauser, hearing you are having celebrity bartenders and waitresses this Friday evening, I thought I would send you this picture of Connie in training this summer at Showtime in Big Fork Mountain, Montana. Big Fork, Montana, rather. She did a swell job and I would rehire her on the spot. Picture of
tending bar?
No, she's waitressing.
Oh, cool.
And the woman that I am related to by marriage and I were married on 1-9-1991. That, of course, nice. Was a palindrome. Jack Selby, Falls Church, Virginia. Will Jason Lockenfor's dog be picking games against the spread next week, hon? From Justin Jarrett. I'm a long time little going all the way back to the pre-PTI days. It took a long hiatus due to the horrors of sports talk radio. But I've reconnected thanks to the podcast. I often listen on my long, slow runs as I train for my first marathon. Upon hearing that Michael's in-laws kicked you to the curb for Thanksgiving, I want to extend an offer to join our family for the holiday. We live in Bluffton, South Carolina, just about 10 to 15 minutes from Oldfield, so we could easily arrange for a time for you to touch Bootsy. The only problem is my children are terrified of dogs, but I have a friend on Hilton Head with a boarding facility for Chessie. I haven't cleared this with the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, but don't sweat it. She's always mad at me for one thing or another. I'm sure she'll
Could you
get
imagine
over
swinging
it.
By Chanamoni's? Hey, I was just in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
I come in, say
how great is that?
Someone
got a new bike tent, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Can I ask a practical question?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Are we doing Stonehenge
no.
tonight?
Thank you for coming, everybody. Appreciate it.
Yeah. dependable.